We're going to work through worksheet number one for chapter six. In the face-to-face class, we do these together. Obviously, we can't do that in the online class, but if you contact me, I'd be happy to work with you through these. What I hope you do is not jump right to the answer key. Or but if you do, what am I going to do, right? Let's take a look at number one. The price of We Got Burnt and How is currently $32 per share. Their earnings per share, EPS, is $2.25 this year. And the five-year average price-to-earnings ratio is 18. So if WBH's earnings per share are expected to grow at 5% next year, what would you expect their price to be next year? Well, this is the price ratio, the price-to-earnings ratio model that we discussed in Chapter 6. And how do we do this? We take the historical P.E. ratio going back 5 years. Where do we get that? We look it up on ValueLine or we compute it. And we multiply that by what we believe next year's earnings per share will be. Well, how do we get that? We take the current year earnings per share and multiply them times 1 plus the expected growth rate. So it's harder to describe than it is to do. You plug in the numbers. The historical P.E. ratio is 18. The current earnings per share are $2.25. And the growth rate is expected to be 5%. So 1 plus 5% is 1.05. Do you understand? I hope so. If you don't, contact me. 1.05 because 5% is 0.05. 1 is 100% plus 0.05, 1.05. So 18 times $2.25 times 1.05 gives us approximately $42.53. So if the average PE stays the same and the earnings do grow at 5%, we expect the price to go up to $42.50. Is it a guarantee? No. As we saw in the presentation, it's often wildly off the mark, especially if the PE ratio variance, the standard deviation of that average, is quite wide, because you don't know. Maybe next year the PE goes way up, maybe it goes way down. Plus, what happens if they don't grow their earnings by 5%? You see how hard it is to predict the future? Indeed. All right, number two and three are basically the same thing. We Got Burnt and How's cash flow per share, except instead of using price to earnings ratio, we're going to use price to cash flow per share. Their current cash flow per share is $2.80. The five-year average price to cash flow per share ratio is 14. If we expect their cash flow per share to grow by 6% next year, what would you expect their price to be next year? Well, take the historical P, price to cash flow ratio, P slash CF, price divided by cash flow, times the projected cash flow per share, which we are computing as the current cash flow per share, plus 1 plus the cash flow per share growth rate, or what we expect it to be next year. And the current cash flow per share is $2.80, more than the earnings. Why? Because, as we discussed in the presentation, we'll discuss later on, earnings per share and cash flow per share are often different, mostly because of depreciation, but the accountants will tell you that there are many other ways it can be different. And we multiply that $2.80 times 1 plus 6%, 1.06. So plugging in the numbers is the easiest part of the problem, isn't it? Right? Trying to understand the problem, what am I doing? But once you start plugging the numbers, you go, well, this is easy. 14 times $2.80 times 1.06 gives us approximately $41.55. Again, an optimistic viewpoint for next year's price, because it's selling for $32. So the model's saying, hey, it's going to be worth a lot more next year. Number three basically the same thing, but instead of price to cash flow or price to earnings, we're using price to sales. And the sales are $3.20. Their average price to sales ratio is 13. If we expect their sales per share to grow by 8%, what would we expect their price to be next year? Well, we do the exact same thing. Plug in the numbers. 13 times the current sales per share, SPS, times 1 plus the sales per share growth rate, which is 8%, 1.08, 1 plus 8%, 1.08. 13 times $3.20 times $1.08, and we get $44.93, even more optimistic than the previous two. So do these enough times, and you'll say the price ratios are very easy and also not really worth a whole lot. Now we turn our attention to the dividend discount models, my favorites. And the first one is Indiana Electric Company. Hey, what did we say in the presentation? What kind of companies have dividends that don't grow, that tend to be very constant? No growth, zero growth. Right, exactly. So if you see a utility, Indiana Electric Company pays $1.25 per year in dividends, has done so for many years, and we expect it to continue doing so well into the future. Zero growth. If our expected rate of return is 6%, how much would we be willing to pay for the stock? So that's our first question. And I asked at the very end, what dividend discount model did you use? Well, I already tipped my hand. If there's no growth, you use the zero growth model, no growth of dividends. And if the stock were selling for $20, would we consider it a good investment? So the formula is very simple. You take the annual dividend and divide it by the required rate of return. Okay, we're getting $1.25 per year in dividends. Divide that by 6%, our required rate of return, 0.06, and we get $20, approximately 83 cents, 20.83. It's selling for $20. We believe it is worth $20.83 to us because we require a 6% rate of return. So we would consider this a good investment. Since we can buy a stock that we think is worth $20.83 for only $20. Make sense? No pun intended. Okay, so make sure you go over this again. Now, number five, turn the page. Pritchard's Pretty Good Pretzels is paying $0.85 per year in dividends. Their dividend growth rate has been very constant. Dividend growth rate, constant growth rate, yeah, at 4%. Our expected rate of return is 9%. What price would we consider Pritchard's to be a good investment? Which dividend discount model did you use? In the exact same order we covered them in the presentation, and the exact same order that they're on the worksheet and on the assignment sheet and maybe on the exam. We use the constant perpetual growth model because they're growing their dividends at a constant rate. And if you take a look at the formula on the formula sheet or in the presentation, you'll see it's the annual dividends times 1 plus the growth rate of the dividends divided by the required rate of return minus the constant dividend growth rate. So it's really the previous model with these two terms added to take advantage of the fact that they are growing the dividends. They're not keeping the dividends at zero growth. They're growing them, and they're growing them at a constant rate. Now, if you do the bonus assignment, you're going to calculate that growth rate, and you'll find that it's not always constant. Sometimes companies raise their dividend more in 1 year than they do, but you want to come up with an average over the last 5 years or so, 10 years, if it's a company that's been around a long time. And so plugging in the numbers, we have the annual dividends at 85 cents times 1 plus the constant growth rate, 1 plus 4%, 1.04, divided by the required rate of return, 9%, minus the growth rate of 4% of the dividends. And so 85 cents times 1.04 is 88.4. And you can, you know, you can figure what that is. That's, you know, 88.5 cents. Divided by 9% minus 4% is 5%, 0.05. So we believe the stock should be worth 8.884 divided by 0.05, or $17.68. Somewhere around there, indeed. But is that likely to be what it's selling for? You can pretty much guarantee no. So we have to decide whether or not it's a potentially good deal for us. And, of course, we have to do a whole lot more research and read everything we can about the company. But, again, these models are just there to point us in the right direction. And then we ignore them and ask ourselves, do we really want to own this stock? Do we want to have this stock in our portfolio? Do we want to be a partner with this company? Good. Okay. Number six. Jimba Jamba Jamba Juice is currently selling for $56 per share. And, you know this company. They sell 800 calories of sugar. Yeah. Yeah. Good for your pancreas, folks, and your adrenal glands. The dividends for the next 3 years are expected to be $1.80 for 2018, $2 for 2019, and $2.25 for 2020. We forecast the price per share to be approximately $75 at the end of 2020. Now, again, where did we get these numbers? Maybe we trust the value line. Maybe we look at the previous years and see how it's growing and what we expect it to be, realizing that both we and the value line are probably going to be off the mark. But, you know, value line's been pretty good, so, yeah. Now, we desire a rate of return of 10%. That's what we're shooting for. If we desire a rate of return of 10% using the discounted cash flow model, would we consider this a potentially good investment for us? What do we believe JJJJ, Jimba Jamba Jamba Juice, is worth? So, this is the discounted cash flow model, folks. It's my favorite, and it's certainly the one I believe that will do the best for you in tilting the odds in your favor. And what I like to do, as we said in the presentation, and if you're looking at the answer key, maybe you're looking right at the answer key, we create a little spreadsheet. And you can actually use a spreadsheet. Use Excel or Google Docs, and put the years in the one column and the future cash flows in the next column and the present value multipliers for whatever, 10% or 11% or 8%. And then what we're going to do is calculate the present value of the future cash flows. So go get either the spreadsheet that's on the website, or get the present value tables. And I want you to do them manually a few times first so you understand what you're doing, but then you can use the spreadsheet. So 2018, we believe we're going to get $1.80. Okay, great. That's our future cash flow for 2018. But what is it worth to us today, January 1st, 2018, right? The beginning of the year. The present value multiplier for 10% for 1 year is 0.909. You see that? 2019, we believe we're going to get $2. And if you go across the 10% down 2 years, you're going to see that the present value multiplier is 0.826. In 2020, we believe we're going to get a $2.25 plus. We believe the stock is going to be worth about $75. Maybe Value Line told us that. So we're going to multiply that times the present value multiplier for 10% for 3 years, 0.751. So do those calculations. Excuse me. $1.80 times 0.909, $2, 0.826, 77.25 times 0.751, And you'll get, don't worry about being too precise. Remember, we're trying not to look precise. $1.6362, 1.6362 for the first year, 1.652 for the second year, and 58.0148 or so for the third year. You add those three up, and you get $61.303, or about $61.30, or just about 61 bucks, right? We believe the stock is worth approximately $61.30, so it is a potentially good investment for us because it's currently selling for $56. Now, if you look at the answer key, I say see the corresponding spreadsheet on the class website or in Canvas. Because why? Spreadsheets make the calculation so much easier. But what are we going to do after, right, you understand, we're going to throw all these away. And, you know, maybe we'll run it again for 8% or 12% and just get a feel for what we can reasonably expect from this stock if it does what we think it's going to do or anywhere near close to that. Cool? And remembering, as I'm going to say once again, after you've done all your calculations, throw them away and ask yourself, do you want to partner with this company? Is it something you see in the future being successful? Have you looked at their competitors? Have you looked at the market that they're in? Are they expanding? Are they contracting? Is their market expanding or contracting? Yeah, and Peter Lynch says over and over, look at the competitors. Don't just look at a company. You got to look at the competitors. And sometimes he said that often his best ideas were by looking at the competitor of a company he was interested in. Cool? Okay. Do this over and over and over again. In fact, it's going to be on exam number 2, and it's going to be on exam number 3, and exam number 4, and it's going to be on the final exam. You're not getting out of this class without knowing how to do the discounted cash flow model. All right? Okay. Number 7. The price of biotechnology, nanotechnology, is currently $15 per share. What do they do? We don't know. We don't understand, but we know it's something exciting, right? So who could not resist a high-tech company that is going to change the world and explode and become fabulously wealthy? And, you know, most of these ones don't work out, folks. Interesting. Most people don't really know what nanotechnology is. It just means really, really, really small things. And about 10 years or so ago, the world of nanotechnology started to make it out into the mainstream and the media and the like. And people started getting excited. And there was a company here in San Diego called Nanotech. All of a sudden, their stock price started to rise for no apparent reason. And people said, what's going on? The company said, we don't know. It just turns out people were buying it because it had nanotech in the name. Aren't you glad you're learning how to... Yes, I'm glad. We're glad that you're learning how to value a company and understand a company. Look, the company pays no dividend. We can reasonably expect that they're a startup and they're losing money. But we expect the price 3 years from now to be $35. If our desired rate of return is 12%, would this be potentially a good buy for us? Should we do more research? Hint, what's the only model you can use with this information, right? How will you use it? Well, there's no dividends, probably no earnings. So what can we do? We can still use the discounted cash flow model to compute an approximate evaluation, even though there's no dividends. Because without the dividends, they're zero, so that doesn't go into the calculation. We say the valuation is equal to the expected price of the stock in 3 years times the present value multiplier at 12% for 3 years. So it's exactly the same model as before, but there's just no dividends. The dividends are zero, so that part of the equation is zero, and zero plus anything is whatever it is. So $35 times, now go to the present value table, go across to 12%, down 3 years, and you'll find 0.712. Do you see that?
Okay, good, good. So now, $35 times 0.712 is approximately $25, $24.92. So we believe it's worth, if it indeed turns into $35 in 3 years, about $25, $24.92 today. And of course it's selling for $15, so that's a potentially good buy, right? But we must understand that this is a very speculative stock. Sure, it could be worth $50 in 3 years. It could also be worth 50 cents. But these are the kind of stocks that Mr. Lynch, Peter Lynch, in his book, One Up on Wall Street, which you're going to read, right? He says, look, these are the potential 10 baggers. You know, that $15 turns into $150 or $500. Because these are the kind of companies that are going to change the world. But for every one biotechnology, nanotechnology, you should have five, in my humble opinion, or more, GMs and Johnson & Johnsons and 3Ms and Exxon Mobils and Chevron Mobils. You understand? Yeah, sure, these things can explode on the upside, but they're more likely to fizzle and bust and turn into a pool of tears. And so this is the crux, as I think I've hammered at to you before. I'm not telling you not to buy these companies, okay? Never worked for me. But they were great companies, folks, great technology, and they started doing really well, and then something totally different, not in their, something totally outside of their control. Yeah, right, okay, anyway. No, I'm not telling you not to buy these, but now you will at least have your eyes open and realize that sure, this company can make me a lot of money, but it can also lose me a lot of money too. And hopefully you will skew your portfolio towards the more stable and stalwart, as Peter Lynch calls them, stalwarts, companies. That, yeah, they're not going to make you rich overnight, but they're going to hold up when the organic matter hits the ventilating device. Folks, they're risky enough. Yes, the blue chips, the stalwarts, the income producers, they're risky enough, folks. You don't have to be going out and buying these high-tech companies that may change the world, that may make you filthy rich overnight. But don't bet the farm, right? Don't. Well, go back and do this worksheet again. And then do worksheet number 2, which uses real companies, not none of these silly named companies. And then do the assignment. And then realize that these are going to be on the exam and the exact same, order. Okay? Be awesome, dear students. We want you to be the best investors the world has ever seen. We want you to be the next Peter Lynch, the next Warren Buffett, and not be the next Charles Stedman. And I've already mentioned him, and we're going to mention him again. Indeed. We wish you the best of luck and success, dear students. Keep up the great work. Don't give up. Whatever you do, never give up.